Okay. Let's start by you telling me where you lived during the Depression. Where was your place?
That was
during the 30s.
Oh, we lived east of Fresno.
East of Fresno. Okay. What was it? A wheat farm?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you, were you born in that country? Did you grow up over there?
No, I was born in Iowa.
Born in Iowa, huh?
My name was Thomas. Mm-hmm. My dad came out here in 1911 an immigrant car.
To Homestead?
To Homestead. And then the family came out in 1912.
1912, okay.
In March.
Mm-hmm. To that Fresno country?
Yes. We lived about three-quarters of a mile southeast of the old town of Fresno.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, and was the place always homestead size, or did you add more acreage to it?
No, my dad wasn't a good farmer. He never farmed in his life till he came out. He lived in Iowa and in town all the time.
Heard about free land, supposedly,
yes,
out here?
Yes, and they were going to make their fortune, and my mother was unhappy because, she had never lived. She'd been born and raised in town.
Mm-hmm.
Gone to school in town, taught school, and when she got out here, she was awfully unhappy.
She was one of these women who were put on the homesteads totally foreign to them,
right,
and never really took to them, huh?
Yeah. I had two older sisters. There were just three of us, and I wasn't quite 4 years old yet when they
came out here? Uh-huh.
When we came out.
Yeah.
And then we lived on that place for, until I guess I was, it must have been along about 22 or so, and like everybody else, they lost their homesteads, and
uh-huh.
Everything was sold, you know, auction sales, and we lost everything.
Foreclosed and sold off,
and then we lived south of Fresno, about 5 miles.
On a different place?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad was still trying to farm?
He was still trying to farm, and I was trying to teach school, and all my money, which was only $99 a month, it was supposed to be $100,
uh-huh.
But by the time I paid my board and room and bought a few clothes, which uh-huh. wasn't many, well, then my money all went into the farm, and they finally lost that.
Lost that, too.
Mm-hmm.
When did they lose that, then? During the Depression, would that have been, you think, or did they last that long?
Well, let's see. I can't tell.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter the year.
I just can't think about how long that would be.
Okay, it doesn't really matter. You were teaching school.
Yes.
Did you have a one-room school?
Yes, I taught in the country.
Well, mm-hmm. What school?
Well, I started to teach I went away to college for 1 year. I had to go to South Dakota because I could. My aunt and uncle were college people, the teachers, you know.
Yeah.
So I could work for my board and room there.
Uh-huh. At which school?
In Aberdeen. South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
South Dakota. I did have a scholarship if I had gone to Montana, but it wasn't good out of the state.
Uh-huh. I see.
My mother was real old-fashioned, and she couldn't see any of us girls going away in a strange place by herself.
Is that right?
She didn't think we could take care of ourselves, I guess. So
was she right?
Well, at the time I was real young, and I hadn't had any experience or anything. I suppose she was right, all right.
Yeah.
But anyway, then I got the first school I got then after I took 1 year down there. You see, you didn't have to have a certificate then,
right.
Just so you had so much college.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started to teach in the Havre District School District, and it was east of Laredo. It's called the Sunrise School.
Sunrise School.
Mm-hmm. It isn't there now. It's been moved somewhere else. But
uh-huh. Where is that from town? Yeah.
It was Laredo
Port of Centerbourne. If you come up from Great Falls,
uh-huh.
It's on the
okay.
It's this side of Box Elder, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Right. How many students did you have?
I had about I suppose 8 or 10 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the Havre district. The Havre district didn't want to take care of its rural schools, especially that one.
Oh.
They wouldn't even clean the schoolhouse.
You had to do that?
I had to do that before I ever started to teach.
Sweep it, scrub it out?
Well, yes, you know, in the fall they always did a real thorough job cleaning.
Right.
Well, it wasn't even clean when I went in there.
Is that right?
They wouldn't supply any books. They gave that school all the old books that weren't. They didn't need in Havre.
Huh.
I would come to Havre and I'd fight even to get a broom and a dustpan. I had to fight to that school board. It was terrible. That's an awful thing to say about school board.
How long were you there?
Well, then, at wintertime, at Christmas time, they decided that school was costing too much money because I had to fight with them even to get a load of coal.
Oh.
We just, you know, you burned coal. And then they decided to bus those kids into Havre, and they closed the school, but I had a contract, so I had to, they had to give me another school. So then I got a school way up by Wheat Belt. You know where Wheat Belt is? The other side is Simpson.
Okay.
Just not too far from the Canadian line.
Another one roomer?
Another one room schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm. Was that better?
It was a real nice schoolhouse, and I had a real good time. The people were so nice, but there weren't enough kids. There were only about, well, four or five, and it wasn't interesting.
Yeah.
So then when spring came, of course, that school, being so far out, and the roads were bad and everything, they had, school didn't start until late. You know, and then they went on halfway into the summer.
I see.
See, because I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so then the next year, they wanted me to come back, and I said the only way I would come back if they imported some more children, because that wasn't enough. You can't even try to make things interesting with that few.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't know, you know Ralph and Donnie George?
Not personally, no.
Well, they went to school up there to me. Well, anyway, then the next year, I got a school out south of between Kremlin and Fresno, only south.
Again one room?
Uh-huh, again one
room. How large this time?
Oh, I had a whole bunch of kids. I suppose I have pictures of them.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have an idea. There must have been about 15 or 20.
Yeah.
There were, of course, I was real young then. Mm-hmm. I started school when I was 5, and I graduated. I started with my sister, who was a year older than me.
Oh, I see. You went to school. And, went off to school together.
So when I graduated from high school, I was about 16.
Uh-huh.
I was young.
And immediately
and
went
then
to
after I'd gone college? A year of college, I wasn't even 18 years old yet when
so
I
you were a teenager
teaching.
Starting.
So then when I probably was around 19 or 20 when I took this school.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't had too much experience, but there were two different factions. There were, some were Swedish and, you know, different, and then some were, I think they came from, not Poland, but maybe Czechoslovakia or something like that.
Some kind of
German, and then they, at home they spoke that language.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they'd come to school, I'd speak to them in English, and they'd know what I said, but they'd answer me in their language.
In their language.
And it made it bad. And then there were some of these boys that were just a lot taller and a lot bigger than I was.
Probably almost as old.
And then there were two factions. They were the one and the other. And they'd fight all the time. They'd get right
Didn't
down
get along
and,
at school,
and
yeah.
oh, they'd get right down and have fist fights, and I'd get right in the middle of them and pull them apart, and they'd really get angry with each other. So I'd spend the time, you know, a teacher has to have a little bit of time to themselves.
Yeah.
But I was staying at home. See, my folks lived by that time. They were south of Fresno,
yeah.
and I had about 5 or 6 miles. So I would ride horseback to school in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Then, of course, like in the wintertime, you have all your fire to build and freezing to death.
Yeah.
And then I had all this other, and I tell you, it just kind of wore me out.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I had to keep half of these kids in school first recess. At noon, I'd let half of them out to play and for half hour, see, and the other half eat. And then I'd let the other ones out, and the other ones back.
Is this because of the factions?
Because they fight all the time.
You'd keep the Swedes out, let the Swedes out
whatever
at one point,
they
and
were,
the Slovenians or whatever at the other point. Huh.
Now, they weren't all Swedes, but
yeah,
there were some.
Scandinavians probably.
You know, different, anyway.
Yeah, huh, okay.
Anyway, when that year was over, I didn't want any more of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had just about had it. So then I started teaching up here at Glenville School, and that's on the Wild Horse Trail out there.
Okay,
and I must
is.
Have been there, oh, I suppose 6-7 years until I got married.
Tell me about meeting your husband. How did you meet him?
Well, my folks homesteaded, see. We were one of the first families there. They were over more toward Burnham, which they had...
Your husband's family?
My husband's family.
The Inmans.
They didn't homestead. They bought what they call a relinquishment.
Yeah.
When somebody...
Right.
You know,
yeah, my grandfather did that.
Yeah, and they came, I think, in 17. Well, in those times, it was a long ways to go visit that far with a horse and buggy.
Sure.
But everybody always invited everybody to dinner to get... So they came to our place for Sunday dinner, and they had a, well, what do you call it, two-seater Surrey, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
And here they come, the Inmans. And of course, my older sister was quite a bit older, and then Bert's brother was quite a bit older, so then they talked together all the time. And then there was, Bert had a sister who was the same age as my sister that I graduated with, Evelyn. And then, of course, that left Bert and I. So we played together all day. We just had the biggest time. So anyway, when I was short and fat, braids down like this, and red face, when we got ready to go, they got ready to go home. They had to hurry home to do the chores, you know, in the afternoon. And Bert's mother said, "Well, Bert, you better go and kiss your little girlfriend goodbye." He started after me, and I was so scared for fear he might catch me. And my mother, you know, she had great long skirts, you know, and she was pretty good size. And I got in my mother's skirts. I can still remember that and wrapped myself in that so he couldn't catch me. That's the first time I ever saw him.
So he didn't get you that
no.
time? No.
But anyway, we went together now and again. We went to school together. And of course, he couldn't go to high school, but he did start. But in those years, the boys had to stay home in the fall and work, and they couldn't start till late, you know, and he'd had to come to Havre. So he just started a couple different times. Well, when spring comes, his dad wouldn't let him stay in school. He had to come home and work. But he was... He wasn't dumb, was he? He was pretty self-educated. You knew him.
Yeah. So, once you were married, the two of you, did you go to farming then? After you were married?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he farmed with his dad a while, and then his folks retired and moved over to Columbia Falls or Kalispell. Mm-hmm. His dad was commander of the soldiers' home there in Columbia Falls when he died.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell me anything of going through the years of the 1930s on a farm? Now, I've gotten quite a lot of details of how grasshoppers were poisoned, but any memories you have of seeing them arrive or the drought or anything of that nature at all would be helpful.
Well, it was in pretty bad years, you know,
and
that was at the time when the Fresno Dam was being built.
Oh, yes, I just saw a clipping on the building.
Now, I was trying to think, but I think that was finished in either 39 or 40.
They were finishing up in 39.
39,
and
that sounds
so probably
right.
By 40 they were done, yes. I just now saw a reference.
So, of course, at that time we lived in that... See, his folks still lived on this farm now where my son lives.
Yeah.
And we had bought that little place there where you went to find that spreader.
Spreader.
We had bought that house. I was just looking in this. Have you read that book behind you? That
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the Grit Gusto.
There's a picture.
Gusto.
Yeah. I was just looking at that. There was a picture of the old town of Fresno in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that house was sitting there. It was the old house that was sitting in that old town of Fresno. And we bought that from my uncle and moved it up on this land. and that's where we lived.
Pulled it with a team of horses? How'd you move
no,
it?
No, well, at that time we had it moved.
Uh-huh,
we had a house mover.
Would jack it up. And
they were just grading that road out there from toward Fresno. And mm-hmm. It was all real loose dirt. Mm-hmm. And when this house mover, I can't think of who it was, when he tried to make the turn to cross the railroad track, he got close, too close, and the house looked like this and to go in the ditch. And there it sat, and we couldn't, and it was too late at night, he couldn't do anything till morning. We didn't have any place, really, to, we wanted to stay and watch it. See, we had lived in this house for a year, and we had all our stuff in there.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any money either, because Bert's, when we got married, I was teaching at Grainbelt.
Yeah.
We got married during Thanksgiving time, because the place where I boarded and roomed, they were going to go to California, and they were going to get a hired man to mm-hmm. take care of their chores. Well, it wouldn't have been proper for me to stay there with a hired man,
see.
You know. Everybody would have canned the teacher if that would have happened.
Yeah, right.
So they only talked Bert and I into getting married, so he could be the hired man and I could teach school. So we got married at Thanksgiving time.
Oh.
And I'd been home to my place on this weekend, and we were going to get married the next Thursday. Bert took me up to Grainbelt. And that night and the next day, he was supposed to pick me up on Wednesday night, see, to get me back.
Mm-hmm.
And the night his folks' house burned.
Oh my gosh.
And he even had to buy 2 wedding rings and 2 marriage licenses and all his clothes and everything, burned up everything.
Oh, I'll be darned, huh?
He even had just had a little wheat, but mm-hmm. he had sold his wheat and some were storage tickets, but most of it was cash, and the cash burned, but he did get the storage tickets refunded.
Mm-hmm.
But we were kind of hard up when we got married.
Yeah.
So we just didn't have any money.
Right.
And then, of course, when we started there, we lived there. And so Bert was trying to get a job on the, when they started that dam.
Uh-huh. Did he get on there?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We had an awful time because, see, there wasn't any road at that time that goes from Fresno Tavern to the dam.
Mm-hmm. I saw
you
that.
Had to go.
I noticed that when I came to town, yeah, I think, didn't I?
Well, there's a road there now,
mm-hmm.
but there wasn't any road.
Yeah.
That was just a section line. There wasn't even a railroad crossing there.
Mm.
So the only way they could get there is to cross over where that Burnham schoolhouse is. Did you notice that old worn-down schoolhouse?
I don't remember that.
Anyway, or else go up to the crossing where we lived.
Yeah.
Well, they started going straight north on that old road, but that was a terrible road, especially when it got muddy. So guess what they did? When they started getting muddy, they came right through our yard and up across through our pasture with all that heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm.
When it began, like early in the spring when the frost went out, why, that was terrible. They were just cutting up everything, and they wouldn't shut our gates or anything.
Yeah.
And Bert finally set his foot down. He says, "You give me a job or else."
Uh-huh,
the next day he went to work.
Uh-huh, yeah. Were there mostly local men on that crew or mostly outside, Mandy, would you say?
Well, there were some locals, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Were you there then?
I don't know. Be a construction crew, probably primarily.
They brought some of the people. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There's quite a bunch of them, weren't there?
Well, yes, they had a little town down there by the dam.
I think I saw a reference to 120 men or something.
I don't know. They had a regular little village down there. They had a little store and
and
a lot of
houses. Is that a pretty tough place? You're grinning a lot at that. Yeah.
Well, that was, you've heard of Ray Noble. You know who I mean. He was noted for a horse thief and all that kind of stuff. Anyway,
they had
another long story.
Yeah, they had their own saloons and everything in this town, did they?
They had one.
Uh-huh.
He ran the saloon and he had a dance hall.
Huh. Was it kind of a tent city, or did they build?
No, they had little shacks.
Had little shacks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was regular little village there.
Yeah.
But anyway, then you see, when they got through building that dam, and I was trying to think whether it was, see, we had our oldest son and was born in 38.
Mm-hmm.
We were married in 34, but. Mm-hmm. In 38, Johnny was born, and he was working down there then.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the dam was finished either in the fall or in the winter or something. In the next spring, see, this was Walker, McGarry, and O'Neill. And I don't know, I think Walker and McGarry went back to Minnesota or something, and then O'Neill brothers settled there. They had their outfit here.
Are these the contractors, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they, I think they originally came from the whole bunch came from Minnesota, I think. I'm not sure. Yeah. I know Walker's and McGarry didn't. They weren't here any longer. They went back. Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway, then the O'Neill brothers started, got a contract for building a road down by Stanley, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Bert went down there with them. In the, he was a shop foreman, mm-hmm. you know, take care of the machinery and stuff.
Well, during this time in the 30s, I suppose you planted a garden and did all the things that a person would ordinarily do on a farm? To
oh, yes.
Largely fed the family from the farm? Is
well,
that,
we tried to.
Tried to, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But a fella had to have a little money. So
yeah, sure.
We just, anyway, we had had several hard times.
Hard years.
Anyway, I worked out. See, somebody had to do the work. Uh-huh. So when Bert was working at the dam, I was working in the field, uh-huh. milking the cows and doing the things I had to do around the house, and then taking the old 29 Dodge and loading them with fuel and cans.
Mm-hmm. Fuel cans, 10-gallon cans, probably.
And in the trunk and go out and crank up the old John Deere, you know.
You'd do the farming.
And then, you see, we couldn't bring the tractor home at night because they had lugs on them. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And and then I was working in the field, too.
Yeah.
And it made it awfully hard. And then, of course, when he went, there was a lot of the things that I couldn't do. I didn't know. I didn't know how to weld, or I didn't know how to repair things. If I could start the tractor, but if anything went haywire with it, I couldn't overhaul it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that much because I hadn't been used to that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, then he was down, and I was trying to think. Now, that one field of ours, you know where Fresno Tavern is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the tavern wasn't there. But this was a field that was right from there west,
mm-hmm.
you know, and south.
Yeah, okay.
My son farms it now.
I see.
But anyway, that was the field that was the worst. I can't remember. It must have been winter wheat. You know, we didn't plant too much winter wheat in those times.
Yeah.
But I can't think unless Bert got that wheat in before he went mm-hmm. to work in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I know that, you know, those furrows,
yeah.
when that wheat come up, you know, just as soon as it gets through the ground, and I don't remember how I found out those grasshoppers were there. I suppose the neighbors probably told me to watch out for it or something.
Yeah.
But those little things were like that, and they'd sit right that whole, you know, in that row, and they'd chew that wheat when it come through the ground.
Even when they were very small?
Yeah, when they were just little, just hatched, I guess.
Just
I guess they hatched all...
Half an inch or so long?
No, I don't think that. I don't know. They were just little things.
Just real tiny.
Little tiny things.
Huh.
But anyway, of course, when I found this out, I would have to be something done.
Mm-hmm.
And if Bert had been home, why, he could have made this thing. But I had to find, I suppose I inquired through the neighbors or something, what on earth. And anyway, there's a fellow in town that made these, but you had to get your... It was a Model T chassis, I think, in the 55-gallon barrel, and get it in there, and then he'd assemble it, you see.
Yeah.
Well, then, in the meantime, I had Johnny, and he was, I suppose, around 2 years old.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard, you know.
Yeah.
And yet, you know Charlie Shand? He lives south of Fresno. Maybe you didn't know him. I don't know. But anyway, he... the three of us used to run around together, you know, a lot, and he was Bert's best friend before we got married, and so anyway, if I needed any help, I was supposed to get him, so I know that I got him to, we had this 29 Dodge, and we had a four-wheel trailer,
mm-hmm.
and I know he had to come, he came and stayed all day up here at the fairgrounds to get that poison bran.
Mm-hmm. To get the poison,
you know,
yeah.
And I think they gave that away at the fairgrounds,
yeah,
but you had
right.
to take your turn, and
you
I guess it
bring
were
your
lines
sack
like,
and so forth.
I think it came in sacks,
did
because
it?
When
yeah.
he came home
that
with time. That, it seems to me like they were like gunny sacks,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
had he arranged to have the spreader made, or did you?
I did.
You did that.
I did that.
You took
I
the,
did
you
that,
got the,
but I couldn't.
Got the chassis and the barrel and... Got a guy to do it. Huh?
I did that, or else I located it,
yeah.
I think. And then I think this fellow that made him picked it up.
Uh-huh,
I think I got it in town.
Then did you do the spreading, too?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And that had to be done real early in the morning.
Yeah, so
when it was a certain temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't, that stuff was supposed to have been put on damp, mm-hmm. but it was awful hard to do that. Mm-hmm. But I know that I'd pull that thing up and down the field with that old Dodge, and it'd sure get hot, because that thing, when it got that full of stuff, and to pull it in that soft ground, mm-hmm. but I got it done.
This was an old Dodge truck you were pulling it
no,
with?
No, it was a touring car.
Dodge touring car.
It was a touring car. It was a
coupe, sedan.
Sedan.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It was two seats. You know.
So you're out
it
there.
It was a 29 Dodge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're out there pulling your
up
poison
and down
spreader.
The field. I mm-hmm. sure was. Yeah. And but you know, after those little things started to eat some of that, that was their downfall, because the next one come along, well, he'd get hungry and he'd eat the grasshopper.
Oh, I see.
And
so
after you got some of them, well, then they poisoned themselves.
Uh-huh. Was it pretty effective, do you think, in your case? Did you
pretty
much
I think it was, but you see, by the time I found out, and when the wheat's so little like that, and it gets nibbled off, it won't come back. And, mm-hmm. yeah.
So you lost whatever.
And you see, that field didn't do much.
Yeah.
And that was the worst field. The rest of it we saved, or I saved, but anyway, that... by the time I got all these arrangements done, and another day was wasted trying to... I guess their lines were terrible up there at the fairgrounds mm-hmm. when they were... Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Where that ford, there was a ford across the river. See, there wasn't any bridge there then.
Okay.
See, you had to ford the river.
Yeah, I think...
And that was a well-traveled road for the bootleggers.
Oh,
I never lived there, you see, and being... his folks liked their beer and all that kind of stuff. My mother, if she'd ever seen us have a glass of beer, she'd have died.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
She was raised differently.
Yeah, right, yeah. So was my
not that I don't now, if I can drink a can of beer or something, but I mean, at those days, I wouldn't have dared.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Bert's folks were different, and I think they knew more about the bootleggers.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Bert used to tell me things about the little cars going by and all that, but I couldn't tell you because
no, I know there's
I
a,
wasn't...
There's various stories about that, which I, you know, I've heard. There we go. Okay, I'm talking now with Frank Lammerding. Okay, do you mind telling me where you farmed during the 30s?
Well, I was south of Fresno.
South of Fresno? Uh-huh.
A couple of miles.
Uh-huh. How much acreage did you have?
Oh, about 300 at that time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Planting wheat, like everybody else?
Most of wheat, a little oats, had a couple of cattle.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess we were milking a couple of cows, weren't we?
Yeah, okay.
Trying to make a little butter.
Yeah. Were you born and raised in that country? Or?
No, I was born in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Up here when I was 10 years old.
Uh-huh. What year was that then?
1911.
Your folks come out to Homestead?
Mm-hmm.
And did they go into that country, to Homestead?
Yeah, they homesteaded South Fresno.
South Fresno there too. Uh-huh.
3 miles.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Did you hang on to the family place then? Is that
no?
Did they lose theirs, like a lot of homesteaders?
Just like the last seven, lost it through mortgage.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I was kicked off the place, and that guy turned over to Mennonites.
Mennonites? And that? Oh.
They stayed 1 year, and they went to Canada.
Huh? A Mennonite colony with this?
No, just a couple of Mennonites.
Just a couple of Mennonites.
Big Sandy.
Huh.
And then he wanted me to take it back, and I told him he could...
Take it himself, huh? Okay.
Right. Well, I'm just one of them kinds. I ain't let him off.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What can you tell me about the times of the grasshoppers?
Well, the time when they were the worst, I think that I worked here at the plant in Haver.
Mixing plant?
8 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
And then, let's see, I worked there from, I think, 4 in the afternoon to midnight.
Were they going around the clock at that time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go home, try and get a couple hours sleep, and then my neighbor and I, we'd go out and spread the poison.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd clean again next night and go to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you spent a lot of time arm deep in poison or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you dress in any particular way against that poison?
Coveralls is all.
Coveralls is all?
Yeah.
Gloves?
I was lucky enough to get by.
Uh-huh.
There's another guy who worked there before I did, though. He passed away at arsenic poison.
Is that right? I wondered whether anybody had shown ill effects, but there's a guy...
Yeah, he got it all over.
Oh? Huh.
Just broke out the rash.
Uh-huh.
Wound up in the hospital.
And did he die then?
Yeah.
In that same year?
Yeah, he...
Do you know... Have you heard of any other deaths of that kind? That was the one... He must have had some kind of a special reaction, maybe, huh?
He was kind of a tall, slim fellow, and I guess he didn't have too much to go on.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Worse than I was.
Yeah. Okay. And you had grasshoppers on your own place to fight after you...
Yeah, for a long time we just spread the outside of the strips, you know. Everything was strip farmed then.
Right.
Spread the outside of the strips, and then eventually, of course, we got so we'd get a hold of more poison and spread the whole fields.
Oh, you would? Uh-huh.
But one big drawback there, you'd maybe go out and work, and your neighbor would sit there and watch you. He wouldn't go and pick up any poison. He wouldn't spread it.
Uh-huh. So, he was inviting the hoppers in,
well,
sir, wasn't he?
I took all I could get from me and my neighbor both. Eight sacks is all they'd give you, but once in a while I'd bootleg a little.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you spread it pretty enthusiastically then, huh?
Yeah, we were after them.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Can you tell me about what they looked like when they would come in the spring? How would you... Let's see, they were hatching here rather than coming in from elsewhere, were they, or both, or what?
A lot of them would hatch and some of them would fly in.
Some would fly in.
Yeah.
Could you see them?
Breathed into the wind.
Uh-huh. You'd see them in the air?
Yeah. And then, of course, them guys that didn't spray at all, you know, when they got the best part of that eat up, then they'd look for something better.
Yeah. So they'd be by to see you, huh?
Yeah. They knew they'd get something to eat as they go.
Uh-huh, yeah. Did you make one of these homemade spreaders out of a Model T rear end and so forth?
No, I had a straw spreader off an old combine.
Oh, I see.
And then I had a gas engine sitting in the back of the truck.
Kind of a one-lunger engine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2.5 horse in there.
Mm-hmm. And this would just, the arm would go around?
Well, it was a four-blade spreader.
Four-blade spreader. Mm-hmm. Whirl around and bat it out into the field, huh?
Spreader piece about 30 feet wide.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then a hopper made out of a barrel.
Uh-huh. Oh. And?
Stand there and just...
Scoop it in and...
Well, just scrape it in.
Scrape it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not too thick, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And did you farm all through the 30s? Were you...
Yeah.
Out of...
Farming ever since.
Farming ever since, huh? Uh-huh.
Until 71 or 2, I guess, was holding out in the room. I think it was in the early 70s.
Yeah, uh-huh, okay. Can you remember when strip farming came into this country?
Well...
Roughly.
Yeah, they started that in the early 20s.
In the early 20s, uh-huh. It was block farming before. They just would plow up whatever they could. And... What, did they discover the country was going to blow away if they did that, or?
Well, yeah, it made a little difference.
Mm-hmm.
When they went strip farming. In later years, of course, we got different methods of farming, and I went back to block farming.
Did you? Uh-huh. Huh. Okay. Do you remember?
Farming with a cat.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't care too much for the strip farming then. I pulled a big influence.
Uh-huh.
That's where I farmed about 600 acres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask here. Dust storms. Do you remember dust storms here?
I can still remember some.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But the worst one I remember, though, was about 1929.
That early?
We had a teacher board with us, and I know a couple nights I went and got her, because I figured it wasn't fit for a lady to walk.
So dusty.
So I took a little pickup, and I had the lights going, and I couldn't daggone near having to call a crack up.
Because it was that dark?
You couldn't even see out over the radiator cap.
Is that right? Yeah, well, that's dusty enough then, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was about taking a chew.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, of course, one thing that helped a lot, my neighbor had a little field of corn on the west side of the road, you know, half a mile long. Mm-hmm. And both of them said, I'm going to take care of this.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me anything about getting through the 30s in tough times. I imagine you raised your own garden and everything of that sort.
We done the best we could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I even hold water for a little garden stuff.
Oh, is that right? In barrels? What'd you do?
Well, or a tank.
A tank of water to water a garden?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we milked a couple of cows and we had a little bunch of chickens. We didn't live too high on the hog, gosh.
Yeah. But you made it through.
If a lot of these kids nowadays hadn't lived like we did, mm-hmm. It'd just be too bad.
They think it's pretty tough, I suppose, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about farm equipment? I suppose you were a tractor farmer all your life, weren't you? Tractor,
well,
Caterpillar, or did you?
No, in the real early years,
did you use
horses?
Use horses, yeah.
Yeah. I went to hire 14 head of horses.
14 head of horses on a single bar?
No, two different.
Mm.
Two gang plows. Seven on each one.
Uh-huh.
With a drill with horses.
Uh-huh.
I got my first tractor, I think, in 28.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay, was that one of these big old iron wheeled ones then?
Yeah.
Or was it?
International 1530.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
About what everybody started with.
Uh-huh. Mrs. Lammerding, are you from the same country he is, down here?
Well, I lived up towards, between Fresno and Carmel.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. And, let's see, do you have a family?
One daughter.
One daughter, uh-huh.
Yeah. She lives up between Big Fork and Crescent.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering, did she go to a one-room school out there, or did
no,
you?
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she went there. One room school and went to a tavern at junior high and high school.
Uh-huh, yeah. Were you ever on the school board or anything having to do with that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, from the school board, Fresno, Marina both.
Uh-huh. How would you go about finding a teacher?
Well, they'd hear about these little schools and then they'd put in an application. Paid $75 a month.
Is that right? Yeah. Where would they live? Was there a teacherage?
Well, that one I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah.
She walked over 2 miles to board with us.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. $25 a month.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Is that a big bedroom about this big.
Oh. So you got a lot of space for her money then, huh?
Well, I'll tell you that $25 bit off of heaven.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet. Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing people comment on is how scarce money was.
Yeah, go around. It was scarce.
During the 30s. So, yeah. Okay, I think that's pretty much my list of questions on the grasshoppers and so on. Describe to me how the arsenic was packaged. What kind of container did that come in?
I believe they're coming 5 gallon cans, isn't it, Charlie?
We got it by the barrel, I think there's 835 pounds to the barrel. I know that for two little fellas like me, it was heavy.
Pretty dense, yeah.
That's about a 15 gallon drum then.
Uh-huh.
I don't think these were 32.
And it is liquid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a liquid, yeah. Okay. So you kind of carefully dab this stuff into the...
You pour it in while you generally...
You want to hold your...
made a habit.
You hold your nose when you pour it in, huh? Yeah, yeah. And be careful not to pour it on yourself.
Not to breathe in too much.
Not to breathe in too much, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Would this stuff, the bran sawdust or whatever, would that coat your clothes?
Or? No.
No. No. It was mainly not to breathe the stuff was the main point.
But I only wore coveralls when I had, the minute I got done, I'd take them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the next morning, if I was spreading, I'd put them back on again.
Yeah, yeah, right. Okay. Okay.